Welcome to Psychic Social, brought to you by psychic.co.uk.
On this episode of Psychic Social,
I literally was having activity in the house where there were things moving and things were breaking. And I went and I literally saw, and it was, I could only explain it as black cotton wool, and it was quite big. And it just, like a cloud, it just floated past my foot.
Welcome to Psychic Social with me, Oliver Duke, the podcast that explores all things from the psychic and spiritual perspectives, including interviews with famous psychic practitioners, discussions about the afterlife, the paranormal, and much more. So relax and enjoy the show. Today's guest is a hugely talented psychic medium and refers to herself as the modern-day mystic. She has been a professional tarot reader for the last 13 years. Her psychic abilities stretch back much further than that, with her having her first ever tarot deck when she was only 13 years old. She also works as one of the famous psychic sisters who provide one-to-one readings in the world-famous department store Selfridges in London. She can be seen there several times a month with an impressive number of celebrity clients on their books. So we'd like to give a very warm welcome onto Psychic Social, the modern-day mystic, the lovely Kate May. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Yeah, lovely. Good, thanks.
Great stuff. Now, can you tell us sort of what have you been doing over this sort of lockdown period that we've had over the last few months? What have you been doing to sort of raise positive vibes and kind of continue to stay positive during this time?
Well, I've got my own shop, so that called Mystic River Lounge in Portsmouth. So we had to close that when we all got word back in middle of March. That closed straight away. Mm. And the first week, really, I was sort of just going with it, like, oh, okay, we're all in the same boat, don't stress. And then within, oh, I don't know, probably a week, people were still contacting for phone readings or Skype readings. So really, I was actually quite busy after that, doing several a week. So I haven't actually stopped working completely. And then we opened the shop again a couple of weeks ago. So in that time, I've been studying, I've signed up to do a spiritual life coaching course, and I'm really, really interested in feng shui, so I managed to get a lot of book reading and studying on feng shui. And I'm in the middle of writing my own book, and I've got my own oracle cards coming out, so it just gave me time. It was lovely, gave me time to be able to focus on those things that I can't normally focus when I'm working in the shop or in London. So actually I was able to really use the time productively. And then I also decorated my whole house and cleared everything.
Wow, so that was amazing. Good.
So I'm quite an upbeat, positive person, and I just thought everyone's in the same boat. This is all happening for a reason, so making the most of it. What do I need to do? And I was just grateful for the time to be able to really finish some work, like say the book, and focus on areas of study that I hadn't had a time to do that I wanted to do.
I think it probably rings true for a lot of people. They've been found themselves quite productive during this time, you know, in this lockdown period where they've sort of got their head down.
Yeah, I think so. I've got one way or another.
Yeah, you either sit on the
work that I do, you kind of have to practice what you preach.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say, you either sit on the couch watching Netflix all day with stuffing your face with crisps, or you're productive, you know, and you do stuff.
And I did that as well. I did that a little bit as well.
Don't tell anyone.
Well, you can't see me, so that's good.
Well, great. Yeah, it sounds great. And the life coaching stuff you're doing, that's the sort of course you're taking.
I've always wanted to do it. So it was really, and it's quite time consuming. So it was great time to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And it just adds another layer, because I find that a lot of my clients, the tarot cards or angel cards, they say what's going on now, what's coming up, and gives them a bit of guidance. But a lot of them want a bit more. And I just found that by doing the feng shui and doing this life coaching course, I can give them the tools to go a bit deeper, to actually not just say, well, this is happening, that's going on, this is coming up. But now I can actually qualified say, well, you can also do this, you can put this in place. And it's not just coming from me, it's coming from a life coaching point of view. So it was something else to be able to help people a bit further. To fix themselves, really, rather than just coming in for a card reading.
And it gives it a bit more of a bigger dimension to the whole thing, I suppose, to the experience someone sees you for
and
reading.
And packages as well. So now we can put packages together. So people, if they want to go down the life coaching road, then they can have top-ups of readings once a month just to make sure they're on the right track. Obviously, with the feng shui element that I've studied, we can make sure that their home is supporting them as well. I do the astrology, so working with the planets. So it just brings the whole lot. as a better package to support them on their journey. Some people, they just want the reading, that's fine, they know what they're doing, but there is quite a lot of people that are need more guidance. And there's I teach the spiritual side of things, so the spiritual life coaching is quite different to normal life coaching side of things. And the spiritual side helps people get on their spiritual pathway, gives them the tools to be able to develop, learn the cards, whatever it is that they want to do.
Great. Well, we'd love to hear. Towards the end of the show, we always sort of give a guest the opportunity to tell us more about the stuff they're doing and the things they've got on offer. So we'd love to go over all that again and hear some more stuff about that later on and talk about your Oracle cards as well and everything else that's going on with you. But if we can, we'd love to move into the show now. And we want to ask you our sort of first question and ask you, take us back to the beginning for you as a psychic in your psychic abilities. How did you become psychic? How did the gift kind of come to you? Was it a natural process? How did it work for you?
So it wasn't natural. Like, look, there's lots of stories that people can say that they saw ghosts when they were six and this and that. None of that. For me, it was just a very strong interest. My nan's mum died when she was six, and she would talk about her feeling her nan around her. And I kind of thought, what do you mean you feel her around her? She's dead. How could you feel her? And that sparked an interest. And then when I would have conversations with friends, anything to do with the spooky stuff, I just got a real strong interest. Holistic things I got a good drive from. So I started to just learn a little bit more about what lavender does, what eucalyptus does, the holistic side. And then, about 13, I got my first tarot deck. I can't remember when, what, or why. I just remember asking for them for Christmas, getting them, didn't know how to use them. And then I started to collect, lots of different things to do with the spiritual pathway, not knowing how to use any of it, just stored it for about 30 years, really. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just grew. When I was about 15, I started working for a couple down our local Selsey Pier. I was doing astrology. They were doing mediumship and readings. And I worked there for the summer, and that kind of, again, was a very strong interest. Then when I was about 19, I think I started to sit in my first circle. I had a friend I'd been to school with, and we were really interested in it right from dot. So I would sit with her and her mum in a little circle. Then it was kind of the 90s when I was in my 20s, so I went off the rails a bit. But I met a guy, a new relationship, and his parents were healers. Just, this random guy in a nightclub, could have been anyone, but there was still this pull and he was into it. So I kind of opened up a bit more, but it wasn't really until much later on when I had my children that I got pregnant, gave up work to have the children. And that gave me the time to be able to focus because I'd given up the work. So I had time on my hands. So then I just joined every class, course, group, signed up for everything and really got into it. Didn't know where I was going with it. Had no idea it was going to be a career of mine. Didn't even think about that because I was just a stay-at-home mum. And I did therapy work. I did massage and nails. So I went to a toddler group and the lady there said to me, would you like to bring your couch and treat, this is before health and safety, treat mums, well, the kids run around. So I did that and she'd bring your flyers. And on my flyer was Reiki. And she said, I do Reiki and I've got angel cards. I said, I've got angel cards and tarot. And before you know it, we were then starting to read for mums at the group. Now, originally, to get me there, I didn't even want to go to the mother and toddler groups. I thought I had enough friends and I was a little bit stuck up, really. And then somebody said to me, look, my daughter wants to go, but she's too scared to go on her own. Would you go with her? And I said, look, I'll go once, but it's not really my thing. But after that, she can go and I won't. Well, she never went back and I went every week. I absolutely loved it. And I ended up, I've still got best friends now and we're all into it. So it really was a big, big stepping stone for me. And then after a couple of years, I thought, well, I'm going to do this. I started to get quite confident with the readings. I was getting good results from them. And I wasn't charging. We were just doing the mums. And then it would be like the mums would say, actually, I've got a friend. Could you do my friend? And then that friend would be, I've got another friend. And it went from once every 2 months to end up being once a week that we were going out and getting fully booked. So I thought, right, I'm going to really study it. So I went and did an advanced tarot course. And I thought, I'm going to make a business of it. And then as the children got a little bit older, again, I had more time. So I was able to start having more and more clients and it just came really, really easy. And I was doing my therapy work, I was doing Clean Easy. I was cleaning people's homes. I was doing Chocoholics, I was doing odd tarot cards, mm-hmm. and I went to see a medium, and he said to me, something that you're doing, this is around about the, I think, September, he said, something that you're doing is going to really take off for you, and it's going to be big. And I thought, oh, great, my Avon and my Chocoholics is going to be really big. I had no idea it was going to be the tarot. Mm-hmm. And then the Christmas came and went, and I thought, well, Chocoholics didn't really go well. He was a load of rubbish. And then I think it was a year or two later, I went to a fair, My Body Spirit Fair, as a guest. Loved it, fell in love with it, thought, this is where I am, this is my home. Practiced and practiced the cards, and then I messaged her and said, could I have a table at your next fair? I had a table, never looked back, and from then just really built up and said yes to everything, went to all the fairs, built up a really big clientele. And then as I got sort of to about 40, everything, it was becoming more and more of a full-time job, and getting more and more well known locally. I then met another partner. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Another one. I left my husband, met somebody, mm-hmm. and he was a medium. And we started to do a lot of work together. I met him because I booked him for an event, started to do a lot of work together, which expanded things even more. We started to travel, started to go to, we ended up in California, which again, everything was kind of fluky because we talked about going to California, but we didn't have the money to go. Mm-hmm. And he'd already been out there traveling anyway. So I said, well, if we're meant to be, it's meant to be, it will happen. And then a friend said, we've done a psychic supper, and a friend had a reading with somebody else, but she said, no, I want a particular reading with this guy. So she booked my partner, swapped her ticket to get him. And she said to him, you and Kate need to go to California. I know somebody out there. I'm going to put Kate in contact with them. So I messaged her. She said, yeah, I know a few psychic people. We can arrange something. I thought, yeah, that's all great, but we've got no money. And she said, don't worry, you'll get the money. And within hours, I got a PPI payment. Mm-hmm. So I was like, great, that's the money. And everything was kind of happening. I was getting emails from people for readings. Where do you live? California. Put the telly on it. Add a advert for California. My son went shopping with his
signs.
And came home with a t-shirt, California.
Amazing.
We've got it. There's something going on. So we ended up going, and we went a few times, really great. And it was easy. Really, once I got onto the right pathway, literally everything opened up.
That sounds fantastic.
Just synchronicity is like unreal. And then I was chatting to my partner at the time's mum a couple of years later, and she's a medium, and she said she used to work down up here, and she was describing the booth that she worked at, and I thought, that sounds familiar. And she said, oh, we had this little girl doing astrology. I was like, oh my god, I was that little girl. And she said, my friend Ron, it was his niece. I was like, that's my uncle. So it turned out, like 30 years later, it was my current partner's mum that I'd previously worked for. So lots and lots of strange things. So I know I was always meant to be on this, but when I started to sit in circle, I had nothing, absolutely nothing. And everybody would come up with their lovely stories of, like I said, we had this sort of spirit when we were little, we always had imaginary friends. I had nothing. And I just sat, carried on sitting. And they would get little messages for the group, and I got nothing. I couldn't even see a colour. Couldn't feel anything and knew nothing. But I just persevered because I just loved it. Mm-hmm. And I think over the years, all of a sudden, once I had my children, things just started. I would start to see little things. And I had lots of readings that were saying to me that, you know, this is where you need to go. I saw a really locally, a well-known lady, Sylvia Sims, her name was. And she said, when I was 19, she said to me, you'll be doing readings as a living like I am. And I thought, I'd love to, but no way. And yeah, it just all opened up quite easy for me. But at the beginning, no, I can't say that I was psychic or I probably was, but didn't know about it. Or had all these amazing things. I just persevered, and I just put time and dedication into training and studying, and I had such a passion for it, such a interest. It wasn't even like working in any kind. It was just like this hobby that was my life, and it just just fairly easy, really.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic and very interesting journey that you've just described there, where you've got to. Amazing stuff. We'd love to talk a bit more about your stuff in America that you do and you've done later on in the show. So definitely would like to move back to that. But for the moment, we'd like to sort of move on and ask you a little bit about some of your readings. And we wonder whether you'd kind of encountered any sort of evil spirits or what might be called negative connections when talking to spirit, whether it was just through you or a reading that you were doing perhaps.
So I'm not a big fan of negative spirits. In my own personal thing, now I'm a spiritualist, so it's not my way of thinking that, that there are evil spirits. I think there's evil people, but not evil spirits. I think you need to be more frightened of the living than the dead.
Right, okay.
And I think once you open yourself up to having evil spirits, you're going to get them because you've created that in your life. I think everything, there's a big, huge fear based. So if you project fear, you're going to create fear. So if you're going to say that there's evil around you because you'll be having that, you're creating it. So I'm not a fan of evil spirits. Mm-hmm. Negative energy, yeah, I think negative energy for me is different to a spirit. A spirit is a spirit and an energy is an energy. For me, a spirit is a person and energy is an energy. And I remember years and years ago, I did a house clearance and I literally was having activity in the house where there were things moving and things were breaking. And I went and I literally saw, and I could only explain it as black cotton wool. And it was quite big. And it just, like a cloud, it just floated past my foot. Now, if I hadn't seen that, I probably wouldn't have believed it because I like to see things. I'm quite grounded. I like to see things before I believe them. But that, to me, was a manifestation of negative energy. There'd been a lot of arguments in the house. There'd been a lot of fighting. So this energy had built over time, and to the sensitive, you can see it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an energy. It wasn't a spirit. It was energy. And that energy, at such a force, can then move things. Or, you know, things can come off the wall. Because you're in a negative space, you're going to be looking for all this negative stuff. So it will happen. But I definitely don't think it's spirit.
So it's not. So this negative energy is not directly, like you say, connected to an individual spirit as such, or a collection of spirits.
No.
Right. No. Okay.
Not in my opinion. No, not in my training.
That's really interesting to hear, because it's not something that the other kind of psychics we've spoken to about negative energies and evil spirits have sort of, they seem to think it's sort of attached to a spirit or attached to
a
being
that
can't move on or something like that, you know. But yeah, interesting to hear that.
Bound spirits, trapped spirits, attachments, it's just not in my world. And I think that's different. You've got the paranormal. It's a little bit like you've got Christian and Catholics. So you've got a God, and then but the Catholics believe one side of it, and then the Christians believe another side, but you've still got the God. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got paranormal, and then you've got spiritualism and spiritualists. Now, the spiritualists aren't going to, you know, they're not going to believe in negative spirits. If you look at the seven principles, and if you're a spiritualist, you follow the seven principles, it's not in that makeup.
Right.
It just, you know, it's not there. But if you're a paranormal investigator, then you've got it in your world, because that's in your world. So I think it's, like I said, it's different terminology for things. Some people have ghost as a spirit. Some people have it as two separate things. I have a ghost and a spirit as two separate things. So it's terminology is different. And I just think your mind is different. Mm-hmm. But for me, attachment, no, I don't think it's the spirit attaching. It just doesn't make sense. You've got your guides, you've got your God, and you've got your family members. So why would they allow, and your guides, why would they allow a negative spirit to be around you if we're all attached to the God source? If when we go into spirit, it's all about love, there's none of this humanity there. Where if we're all about love and we're pure energy, where, how could you attach yourself and do all these? It just doesn't make sense to me. But I think fear, I think when somebody's going through stuff, and definitely if you've watched a lot of Hollywood stuff or been told that there are this, then you can create it, because your mind is super powerful. So you can create what it is you're, you know, manifesting your life.
Definitely.
The mediums the ones that follow the seven principles, it's not our thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've said before on a couple of other shows, you know, about the perception of like negative spirit or negative energy and things like that through, you know, paranormal TV shows, or whether it be films, you know, like you say, in Hollywood and stuff like that, gives people this perception, and then that's what they kind of think when they immediately think about that kind of stuff.
Oh, you know, there's on the other hand, you need yin and yang. So you can't have everything fluffy. There has to be a balance. But I just don't think it's in the same way that it's portrayed, as someone's coming in and going to be attaching themselves to your stuff, and they need moving on. Why do they need moving on? How, you know, they're in spirit, they've got people around them, they've got God. Why would they need a human here to move them on? Surely they can do that their end.
That's great. It's very interesting to hear your take on it. Thank you very much for that. Well, now, conversely, are there any sort of funny stories from any of your readings that you've done that kind of made you laugh, or made you and the sitter laugh at all?
Oh gosh, probably, and I just can't think of anything. anything funny. Predictions are always give people a giggle, because a lot of people will say, no, never going to have another baby, or no, I'm never going to move house, no, this isn't going to happen, and I'm like, maybe. And then 6 months later, oh, by the way, I've had another baby. One time which did make me giggle, I was shopping. I'm not very good at faces. I don't really remember my clients unless I see them a lot. Certainly don't remember their stuff, because once I've given it, I don't hold on to it. There's a few pockets of things that if they wowed me, that I might remember, but it's not my stuff. And I was shopping in Argos once, and a lady just tapped me on the shoulders and spun a pushchair around to me and said, "Oh, this is Georgie. You told me that I was going to have him, and he's two now. Look at him." And it was just a bit random, because I was in the middle of Argos in the queue, and it was just the way she spun her pushchair around.
Here you go. Look at this. Yeah.
Yeah. You predicted this. So yeah, but I can't think of funny things there. But there's been a lot. Yeah, probably predictions is the one that takes people by surprise. Yeah. And I'm much more used to it now. So when they're sat there saying no, I'm thinking, okay, give us a text in 6 months, we'll see.
Yeah, let me know. Definitely. Right, love it. Great. Great. Fantastic. Well, I mean, so we've been hearing all about your mediumship throughout the show so far. Can you tell us about your guide or guides? Do you have one or many? And how does
now, there's a funny thing about guides, and I would say probably only very recently that I've had a connection. I've always known that there was one, but like most people, wanted to know who they were, what their name was, what do they do, how tall are they, this, that, and the other. So I've been working with this, what I felt, this masculine energy of an old man for quite a while. Now, the thing is for me with guys is they can manifest in your mind into how you want. And I know of another medium who saw their guide, they saw a child, and years later on, the child was a man and said, "If I showed you myself as a man to you when you were a child, it would have freaked you out. So I had to show you me as a child. So you thought you were playing with your imaginary friend. Actually, it was me, your guide." So, you know, there's a funny thing with your own perception of it there. But I've known about, obviously, guides, but I've never really connected until a few years back. And then I've sat in a few different altered states with people in the cabinet and things. And four different groups said to me, one group said, "Oh, you've got like a geisha girl overshadows you." And I thought, okay, don't mean nothing really, but thanks. And then I went to do it another group a year later or whatever, and they said, "Oh, a geisha girl." I thought, "Oh, that's interesting. The last group said that, and this is a different group of people." And then another group, same thing. Okay. And then I went to the Arthur Findlay College last year, and she said to me, "Are you aware your guide is a geisha girl?" I am now. And she said, "She's so subtle, you won't feel her." And it is like that. But in the last year or so, I know now my calling card for the guide, and yeah, I can see the colours that she portrays. So I do know who, but I do feel that they came through as someone different originally, same person, but in my mind, because that's what I wanted them to be. You know, people say you've got this Native American, you've got this, you've got that, all the common things. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why would I want a geisha girl? I've got no link to Japan at all, Japanese. So I meditated on it, and I was told, "Look back and you'll see your connections to Japanese." And I don't know if you remember the program. I don't know how old you are, but the program Monkey, probably younger than me.
Monkey Magic.
I was absolutely infatuated by that program. Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of Googled it all, and it's Japanese. I thought, that's strange. And I really was really attracted to the main character. And then my guide said, you know, so that came in the meditation, and I said, "Look back a bit further." Well, my very first boyfriend, his name was Nicholas Highland. Now, I was probably about five. I was at infant school, and he was Japanese. And then my nan had this lovely crockery set, And I was fascinated by it. And she said there was a story that two lovers couldn't be together. And the dad turned them into birds. And that was the only way they could be free, but they couldn't be human anymore. And it's all played out on this Japanese crockery.
Wow.
So when I was doing the meditation and she was saying, "There's look back, you have been interested in it, but you just didn't know about it." And I was like, okay, I get it now. So yeah, there's been hints there, but because I was expecting this bearded man to be my guide and, you know, come very subtly. So yeah, so I think, again, your own mind can play around with that. But I think once you meditate, or when you sit in the power, which is super important, sitting in the power and just getting to the point where you ask for your calling card on a regular basis when you're working, when you know what your calling card is, you know, yeah, I'm ready to work now. Oh, I know when my guide is around.
Sure. The geisha girl, does she have a name or anything like that? Does she?
No, and I've never asked her.
Right, okay.
Never asked her. Doesn't bother me. I used to be searching all the time, but now I just accept. She's there. Good. I don't need it. A name is only human form anyway.
Right.
Once we're in spirit, we don't have names like that. So
sure.
It's only, so I don't bother. I'm not bothered.
So she's your sort of main guide, and you have other sort of peripheral ones potentially, or?
I'm not sure where I'm at with it, because there's a rule of school that says you have a different guide for different things when you move house, when you have a job. And then others say you've just got your one guide and they can facilitate all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm probably feeling that one guide can just be all the others. But I used to believe you had different guides for different things, but I don't know. But I'm quite open to change. If I talk to someone or go somewhere and someone says, well, what about this? I'm like, yeah, that feels right. So I'm not like, this is how it is 100%. I am open to other people changing my mind if I feel like that.
Sure. Great. Okay. Great. Well, it's great to hear all that. Thank you, Kate. Well, this is going to move us nicely into a break now. We're hearing some great stuff from psychic medium Kate May on Psychic Social today. And we're very much looking forward to hearing more from Kate in part two, where we'll hear all about her work with the famous psychic sisters in Selfridges, her take on the afterlife and much more. So we'll see you after this.
This is Psychic Social, the spiritual home of psychics.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Psychic Social is brought to you by psychic.co.uk. Now, psychic.co.uk is the latest content hub for all things psychic. At psychic.co.uk, you can learn detailed information about every single tarot card in the deck. There's a page for every single one, 78 pages, and you can directly book psychic readings with some of the UK's best-loved psychics and read great articles written by them too. You can also check out all our other podcasts on the Psychic Social page on the website. So lots of fantastic stuff to get stuck into there at the website. Our amazing tarot course is also coming to psychic.co.uk very soon too, so keep a lookout for that. If you have any questions or queries about the website or Psychic Social, you can email them to us at support@psychic.co.uk. And one of our lovely team will get back to you. Now, back to the show.
This is Psychic Social, the spiritual home of psychics.
Welcome back to part two of Psychic Social and our chat with psychic medium Kate May. So everyone listening would love to know a bit more about your work with the Psychic Sisters in Selfridges in London, Kate. We understand that you've got a bit of a celebrity client base there. Can you tell the listeners a bit about the work you do there, please?
Yeah, so it was a bit random how I managed to get the position there. I used to work on the Psychic Cruises with a team. So I had an email of Jane Wallace, who runs Psychic Sisters, and my friend had got a job there, who I also worked on the cruises with. And I said to her, I'll get us a job. And she said, well, don't work like that. And I said, okay, but I will have a word with her. And this was, I think, in the February. She said, but you've got her email address, just email her. And I just didn't feel ready to. I said, okay. And then a couple of months went by and it was in my head, shall I do it this week? Nah, I'm not really in the mood. And then I got to, I was in California, and no, I was in LA actually then. Yeah, LA, California. And I was by the pool and I just thought, this is about June, July, July, I think. But yeah, I feel like it now. I'm going to email her. So I emailed her and just, I don't know what I said. Can I have a job, please? I can't remember. I'm quite forward. I am quite a forward person. So, I then messaged my friend and said, oh, I've just emailed Jane. And she said, oh my God, you must be psychic. I've literally just told her that you're out there because she's on a plane now out there. I said, are you kidding? So So I messaged her back and said, I just heard you're in LA. I'm in LA. Do you want to meet up for coffee? So we met up for coffee, and that was that. So within 2 months, I was working in South Virginia. And it's so bizarre because I just, you know, I used to watch Mr. Southridge, I can't remember, on telly, talking about all the old store, how it used to be. So it's so bizarre actually working in the store. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely little concession in there, the ground floor. And there's quite a few of us. We all have different shifts. It's she's got crystals that she sells, amazing crystals and stock. And it's a home from home because it's similar to what I've got in my shop in Portsmouth, that is obviously in the heart of London in Oxford Street. And then she has different rooms that we work in. And people book or they just walk in and you never know who's coming. There are I can't obviously say who, but there are a lot of celebrities that swing by. She's had clients, the Kardashians. She's had, oh God, there's so many. You have to have a look on.
I think we saw she was on ITV recently or at some point.
Yeah,
and
she's
had
on all of it.
Yeah, with Kim Kardashian, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's been on this morning. So, and she's absolutely sound. Mm-hmm. She's so lovely to work for. Really, really good girl. And it's great because we go out socialising. So whenever Christmas is there, we're all out. We've had some great nights out, birthdays. So I work there a couple of times a month. And obviously with lockdown, I've been doing it on the phone. Nobody's mm-hmm. been there. They opened the store last month. But because I'm such a distance away, I didn't want to get the tube quite yet, so I'm back there next month, right. Back face to face.
Okay.
But so it, again, another thing that just fell really easily. I mean, how many people email and just get a, oh yeah, you're in LA, let's go for coffee. Yeah, you got the job. Well, there's no like, interview. There's, yes, you know,
sounds like you're on the right path, isn't it? And it's just, it sounds like a nice thing to break up your month as well, just like popping off into London a few times a month, just to kind of experience that. And you know, let's face it, if you've not been before, you should go to London. But who doesn't love London? You know, I used to work there myself.
Yeah, so, it's a great buzz.
Yeah, great city.
Great buzz. And Southridge is gorgeous to work
in. It is a lovely place, isn't it? Yeah, lovely store.
And it's good, a bit of celebrity spotting. It's good.
It is. Well, like I say, I used to work in London, so I used to, you know, used to see the old celebrity walking down the street, don't you, Regent Street or Leicester Square.
We're always, whenever we have one come in, can we do a selfie? So you'll see on my Instagram that there's a few selfies.
That's cool. Well, people can hop over and have a look to that. We'll link to your Instagram in the show notes on the website as well, so everyone can have a look at that. Well, thank you very much for telling us about that. It's very interesting. And we were talking earlier about your psychic work, the kind of stuff you've done in California and in America. Can you tell us a bit more about what you've done over there and sort of what things did you encounter? Are they generally sort of as spiritual and into everything psychic as much as we are over here?
I find them very different. Where we were and our bookings, obviously they were all into it. So it was set up purposely for that. Mm-hmm. So they're very open to it, very open. But for me, a bit too open, some of them. So here in the UK, we've got to work hard. That's how I've been brought up with it. So that's great. Over there, they tell you the story first. And I don't like to know anything. I like to work fresh. Very occasionally, somebody will say, look, I know I believe in all this. I just need this one particular question answered. But generally, I like to tell them what I'm picking up first. So, but over there, they do prefer to tell you it at all. So it makes it easy on one hand, but harder on the other. But they are very, very open to it. Lovely, lovely people. And again, it all sort of came about fairly easy. And we hooked up, went to a few of the churches up there. We hooked up with them. We got some stay friends, really good friends. And not only did one of my friend Diane put me in contact with some girls, then I had another friend, Darren, who also put me in contact just up the road. Say it's up the road. It's about 5 hours away, but over there it's up the
road. That's up the road over
we met some friends in LA, and then we drove up to Monterey and met some other friends that we've stayed in contact with. And now I've got some in Santa Cruz through friends. And I stay in contact with all of them. So whenever we go back, we always touch base with all of them.
That's great.
And I'm looking at next year with my friend Suzette. We do a show called The Mystic and the Medium. So where we go out and demonstrate, we not just do one-to-one readings, but we actually do the platform together. So we were due to go out this April, but obviously with lockdown, we couldn't. So we're looking to go back out next April, where we'll be doing theatre shows.
Fantastic.
She's already done that. So we're going to go out together and do theatre shows and interviews as well. Through the show, we interview celebrities. So we're going to be doing that while we're out there next time. But I love the shows, the audience. They're great.
It must be a great buzz. And what sort of platform stuff have you done so far? Do you do a lot of stuff on stage, or are you just sort of?
I haven't done an awful lot. I've done a lot of the tarot on stage, mm-hmm. done a lot of workshops, and I do. So as the mystic and the medium, what we thought we'd do, rather than just do a normal mediumship demonstration that a lot of people do, we blend the cards and the mediumship. So she will go to somebody and maybe give a mediumship message. I'll go to somebody, get them to pull a card, mm-hmm. and we'll work on the psychic vibration and then go into whichever layer it is. And by doing it that way, it means we're not going to the same person. So we can get through in an audience. We can get through a lot more people than a normal mediumship. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people we found, although they want the communication of their loved ones, they also want guidance. And when you're doing a demonstration, you're not meant to be doing apparently the psychic stuff. You're not meant to be giving them guidance, just guidance. You're meant to be giving them the evidence. That was the whole part of the, mm-hmm. the platform. But because people wanted, well, actually, shall I be with this bloke? Am I going to move house next month? We wanted to bring in the psychic with it. So we blended the psychic and the mediumship together, right. so that we could do the cards for people. That would be their prediction. That would be what's going on. And then we've given them the mediumship message as well. So it kind of like they've got double bubble, really. And it's fun working together. It's fun.
Sure. Would you say there would be more people on in the theatres over there for this sort of stuff than it is over here, or large audiences on stage?
I don't know. Because it's, I mean, when she went out there and did it, yeah, she got fully booked. So we hope so.
No, it sounds great. And you did that all over sort of the West Coast, was it, of America mainly?
California.
Yep.
We are going to go to, right at the top, forget what it's called, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But we do it in the UK. So we tour different areas in the UK, doing it as well. Liverpool, Manchester, London, Hampshire. So we're kind of out and about. But it's obviously been on hold this year. But we had something put up every single month for this year. And it's just been put back 6 months, really.
Okay, remind us, what are you guys called again? And is there a Facebook page for that?
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram, The Mystic and the Medium.
Mystic and the Medium, right, okay. Well, we'll definitely link to that on the website as well, so people can click on that and give that a follow and a like. Well, that's fantastic to hear all that. We're coming towards the end of the show now, Kate. We just wanted to ask you, and we kind of also ask all our guests at the end of the show this question. We just wanted to know what your thoughts are about the afterlife through your mediumship experiences so far, and kind of what do you think happens when we leave Earth?
I think it's slightly different for everyone. I don't think there's a set, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. The same as life in general there. But my feeling is that when we cross over, we are met by somebody, or we're helped over with somebody, and it's there's no time, so it's kind of like a dream. And I think because it's going to be different for everybody, I think you do have a life review, so you would go back and look at how you treat people, what pathways you took, what pathways you didn't take, and maybe get the chance to go down them pathways. But I think it would be, it's not set, this is definitely going to happen, that's going to happen. I think it's mm-hmm. it's a little bit loose around there. But for I've spoken to people that have had near-death experiences where they have crossed over, and it seems there's a similar vibe there where you're met by your loved person, people, and it's just this pure feeling like a meditation when you're sat in the power and you don't want to come back. Mm-hmm. You're just in this dream, or when you're in that lucid dream stage where it's just no pain, it's full of love, happiness, and there's no conscious emotion of anything, because that would all be human. So that's what I feel it would be.
Mm. Okay. And do you think, do you sort of subscribe to the thought process of that, we're kind of up there and we kind of decide, like, that place,
yeah,
wherever it may be, is our home, and we decide what experiences we want to have, and then go down and have them on Earth, and then learn, and then definitely go back up, and then go back and forth.
I think there's different planes, or different, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. worlds. And each world, from what my understanding is, that you would go to the first world, you would be your settling and your life review or whatever. And as you move up, you would get less and less of your personality, and this until you're into the Nirvana, where you're just pure spirit there, and there's no part left of you, which could take years and years. Which I think is why we don't often get the messages from our great 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 nan, because that energy is evolved there or disappeared there. But yeah, I do think there's a part in all that where you would get to, okay, I'm in this plane now, on this world, do I want to come back down to Earth and experience this? How am I going to go about it, my soul family. Yeah, I'm not coming back. I'm a 9 numerology. I'm done. This is my last life. I've made that sure. I'm done.
Right, okay. It's interesting you say that because I kind of thought that about myself, you know. About a year or
two
ago.
You have to find out what your numerology number is.
I don't know. This is it. I just don't know. I just have this feeling that I've had a kind of awakening in this, you know, incarnation that this is my last time here and I'm moving on.
You'll have to send me afterwards. Send me over your date of birth, your time of birth, and date and time. Yeah, and I think that's all I need.
I will do. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Great. Well, it's really, really fascinating to hear your thoughts on all that, Kate. Thank you very much. Now, like I say, we're coming towards the end of the show now. Last couple of questions we've got for you are kind of moving slightly away from the psychic world. We just wanted the listeners to know a bit more about you in terms of what you like to read and what you like to watch on TV. Can you tell us what was the last book you read and or sort of box set you watched?
Oh my God, what was the last book I read? Oh, it would be all the Feng Shui stuff. Simple Shui at the moment. A lady in Texas, I bought that last week. Okay. Oh, no, 2 weeks ago because I interviewed her. So Feng Shui was probably the last book. Netflix, that's my thing, Netflix. So I've probably covered everything. I love anything to do with obviously spiritual programs, seen a lot of those. I love war programs, Second World War, First World War, absolutely love all that. Anything to do with gangsters, anything gangstery, love. So, God, I've probably seen everything on Netflix. So that's kind of movies linked into those.
That's your sort of thing.
Totally different to spirit. Gangster. That's your hardcore gangster.
The hardcore gangster stuff is your escapism. Great, I love it. Okay, and now can you tell the listeners also about your website and your social media and, of course, your lovely metaphysical coffee shop that you have in Portsmouth?
Yes, so my coffee shop is called Mystic River Lounge, and here we do obviously readings. I've got a therapist, Gemma, so she does the nails, the massage, facials. It's a general coffee shop, so anyone can come in. We've got vegan options, but we also sell crystals, books, tarot books, cards, and it's where I hold my workshops, my psychic development classes, talks and demonstrations here. So that website, www.mysticriverlounge.co.uk. Then I've got my own, simple, www.katemay.co.uk. And then my social media things. So they're either going to come under Kate May or Kate May Modern Day Mystic. I have the Mystic and the Medium that we've just spoke about. And I have Loose Mystics as well, which is it's kind of a take of Loose Women, but it's a spiritual. So it's a group of us that get together every other week and we talk about spiritual things, but we also have quite a bit of banter and we can talk about all sorts really in that show. So that's the Loose Mystics, and that's on Instagram and Facebook. If you find me on Instagram, you'll probably pick up all of it.
That sounds great. Yeah. Well, don't worry, we'll link to all of that as well on the website for you, and so all those people can click on those links and give you a follow and stuff and have a look at your content. Is there anything else you're currently kind of selling? You mentioned your courses and stuff like that, any books? Anything
because of lockdown, most of the courses, and my next tarot course is probably going to be September. I'm starting up a new online psychic development course next week because a lot of people want to get back into that, but they don't want to wait until we can all meet. So I'll probably do that online for a little while, and I will do the tarot course will be online as well, and within that we mix astrology within it. I've got my own deck of oracle cards. They've been all designed now, and I'm unsure of the name, but probably something like Modern Day Messages or I don't know, something along those lines. So they'll be out soon. So that would be, again, if you follow me on the social media, you'll see them. And they're quirky. They're very, very different. Lots of people have seen some of the samples and said they're nothing like them before, in a good way. So they're not like the normal angel fluffy oracle cards. They are blunt. If you're going to categorize, so if you want to ask a love question, it might say yes or it could say no. You're wasting your time, mate, move on. They're quite blunt, but they're very funky as well. And I've got a book coming out later on in the year, is tarot and astrology, mixing the tarot and astrology with a little bit of numerology, because when I do my readings I try and blend the whole thing together.
That sounds fantastic. You've got loads of stuff going on there, haven't you? The cards sound great as well. Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, they're good fun. And there's a quirky girl picture on each one in a funny pose. So I'm really looking forward to getting them in print.
Well, a lot of people do like that kind of straight to the point psychic reading, don't
and
they?
I'm quite, I'm a Taurus and Capricorn, so I'm very down to earth, very straight to the point. And although obviously sensitive when you're doing readings with things, but these cards are, some of them are sensitive, but some of them are just, it is what it is, say it as it seems.
Sounds great. Perfect. Well, it's been wonderful to have you on Psychic Social today, Kate. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all this great stuff with the listeners here. It's been really fantastic to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, well, look after yourself, Kate, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you ever so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on Psychic Social from psychic.co.uk, the spiritual home of psychics.